The Holy Spirit comes with great power. The glory of God is what it's all about. Let them do what they need to do. Just be still. Don't be thinking about what's happening anyplace else. Please. It's none of our business. Is there someone someone here? That's fine. In the confessional, the priest has got them. Just leave them alone. The glory of God is the presence of heaven on earth. The glory of God is all the goodness of God, all the goodness and manifest goodness and mercy and covenant love of God. The glory of God is his loving kindness that he promises to pour out upon us. The glory of God. It's so important to know that nothing happens apart from the glory of God. When the glory of God comes, then everything begins to happen. Everything happens when the manifest presence of God comes. Nothing happens apart from that. Apart from that, we're all struggling. We're all forcing things. We're all putting our stuff into it rather than allowing God to do what he wants to do. Can Father Ilrich go out with this lady? Where's Father Ilrich? Ilrich, where are you? Go out with this lady, quick. Both of you, just go out with this lady. Go out with this lady. Go out, go find a place and go out with this lady. Go ahead, take her out. When the glory of God comes, things begin to happen. Because it is the manifest presence of God. Apart from the glory of God, what we have is a big struggle. We have a big struggle. And we're trying to do God's stuff, even in our worship. We're trying to make it happen. And you know, if you haven't learned anything in all these years, we cannot make it happen. We cannot make anything happen. We need to flow with what God is doing. We cannot make anything happen. But when we make up our hearts to worship the Lord and to praise him, his presence comes upon us and things begin to happen that you cannot imagine. Things begin to happen that are from heaven. You see, this glory is without struggle. This glory is without struggle. When God's presence comes, there is no struggle. There is only the flow. There is only the flow. It's being led by the glory. But apart from the glory, again, the only thing we have is we try to make it happen. And you know what? We're pretty good at doing things, but we can't make the glory happen. But we can worship, we can adore, we can praise, we can sing. We can begin with great praise and shouts of joy, which leads to worship, which is much more beautiful and much more personal, telling the Lord how wonderful he is. And that worship leads to the presence of God, the glory of God, the manifest presence of God. And if we talk about revival, there is no revival apart from the glory of God. There is no restoration of all the gifts that God has for us apart from the glory of God. But when his glory comes, then things happen in an instant, in the blinking of an eye. The blind see, the deaf hear. The dead are raised. When this awesome, heavy presence of God comes, there's great ease, as Sister Ruth always said, in the glory. It's a great ease. And you know, it's an atmosphere that you realize that I'm home. When the glory falls, you know you're home. You know, this is where I belong. I tell you what brings the people in a revival. It's the glory of God. It's the presence of God. It's not the music. The music can bring the glory if we worship. But it's the glory of God that the people are drawn to. It's the presence of God that the people are drawn to. You do not have to advertise when the glory of God comes, because the greatest advertisement is his presence. The people start to let other people know something's happening there. I don't know what it is, but there's something happening there. We saw that in the 70s at the Cenacle, when we started in 1968, 69, 70 at the Cenacle. We didn't know anything about anything. But as we continued to worship and praise God, the glory of God came. The presence of God came. There were hundreds of people, thousands of people who were converted. Something that was so wonderful, because we were just 22 years old, 23 years old. We didn't know anything other than that this wonderful Jesus wanted to give us Pentecost. This wonderful Jesus wanted to pour out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh. This wonderful Jesus could work through people that didn't know much about anything other than him. And we saw this. We saw people coming, thousands of people coming. It was the greatest mistake of the charismatic renewal. When the charismatic renewal said, go into your own parishes. It was the greatest mistake, because you see, we were not welcome in our own parishes. We were not pastored in our own parishes. That's just history. We needed to stay together. We needed to build together. We needed to be at a focus, at a focal point, where God was moving together. We thought that because the Spirit of God was on us, that we could change everybody. But you see, you can't change anybody unless you get changed yourself, over and over. You can't change anybody unless the Spirit of God changes you. And we were all neophytes. We didn't understand the spiritual life. We did the best we could. And with the best we could, we saw the power of God. And we saw it in a mighty way. In a mighty way. 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75. Kind of peaked in 75. And I'm going to tell you why it peaked. Because we started to take control again. We started to think we knew how to do things. We started to have our great agendas. We started to say, this is what the Spirit is saying, rather than saying, I have no idea where God wants me to go and where he wants to lead us from here. So, you know, we did the best we could. I am not trying to complain. I'm trying to learn from what mistakes we made. That what led us was the glory. What led us was the presence of God. What led us was the manifest presence of Jesus Christ. When we knew nothing, when nothing was really in our heads other than that Jesus was wonderful, that he baptized with the Holy Spirit, that there was nothing impossible that he couldn't do, that he forgave everybody if we confessed our sins and repented. We saw mighty awesome conversions. People would say, you know, you people are so young. What do you we say? You know, we're just worshiping God. You know, our teachings were so simple. You know, what could we teach people? You know, we could only teach them what we've been given, because you can't give another person what you don't have. You can't give another person what you don't have. But you know, I'm telling you, we fed multitudes of people with the Word of God. And multitudes of people, even still today, are active in ministry because of that move of God that happened sovereignly. in the United States, in the Catholic Church, and in all the other denominational churches. But you see, again, we took things into our own hands. Because, you know, that's what you do when nothing seems to be happening. Rather than continue to press in, continue to worship, continue to seek his face while he may be found. You see, we get a little uncomfortable when things aren't happening the way we want them to happen. When our agendas aren't being fulfilled. So rather than fasting and seeking the Lord in greater ways, you know, we started to institutionalize the Spirit. And I told you last night, the Holy Spirit will not be institutionalized. Never. The prophetic can never be institutionalized. It's in the institution, but it cannot be institutionalized. That's a gift from God. It must be judged by the church, but it's a gift from God that cannot be placed in a box. But you see, human nature always wants to place things in a box. I'm going to tell you, the greatest people that have ever lived on the earth are people who thought and lived outside the box. They are the people that did the most wonderful things because they thought and lived outside the box. They were thought to be crazy. They were thought to be fools. They were laughed at. But yet they were following the beat of a different drummer. They were hearing things that other people weren't hearing. They were in a stream that other people were not in. Again, they were not accepted. I'm not only talking about faith and I'm not only talking about religion. I'm talking about anything. People who thought and lived outside the box were scorned at. They still are scorned at. Because, you know, what we really want is we say we don't, but we do. Cookie cutter things. That everything looks alike. Everything is uniform. I'm going to tell you, no one's uniform in this place. We're all a big mess. That's the incarnation. That God became a human being and gave himself to big messes. And that he comes to us, make his dwelling with us. He tents himself among us because he loves us. And he wants to pour out his Spirit upon us in mighty ways. In ways that cannot be seen or thought or imagined. Because they're outside the box. They're bigger than our expectations. They're more than what we can think or imagine. But you see, we all have our ideas, and that's when we get into trouble, when we start imposing our ideas on God, because our ideas are just too small. Our ideas cannot save the world. Our ideas cannot change the government. Our ideas cannot stop abortion. We need to get into the flow of God, into the presence of God, into the glory of God, where things are changed by his awesome presence. Not by our ideas. Ideas come and they go. They come and they go. But that glory, that presence that filled that upper room that day. Oh, we heard that it was fire and wind, but there was more that was heaven than that upper room. There was the glory of God. There was the presence of God. I wonder before they opened the door how long they were on their faces. I wonder how long they were on their faces. Because they probably couldn't move. The Bible doesn't tell us that. It just tells us that they were filled with the Spirit. That they began to speak in other languages. Not only that they began to speak in other languages. Not only did they speak in other languages, but then they opened the door and they went out to preach. And they began to preach Christ. Because the glory of God always leads to Christ, always leads to Jesus. always leads to Him, the author and finisher of our salvation. We hear about what happened in that upper room, but I don't think we have any idea all the happenings in that upper room. I don't think we have any idea. Because you see, you can't put into words heaven. You can't put into words the awesome presence of God. Words fall short. That's why He gives us the gift of tongues. Words fall short. You might say, what did you experience? Well, you can say these things. I experienced love. I experienced home. I experienced being welcome. But all my words don't capture the presence of God. All my words don't capture heaven. All my words fall short because my words are the words of an earthling. And when heaven falls into somebody's heart, you know, you have to describe heaven with earthly words. We don't have heavenly words outside of tongues. We don't have words to describe the glory of God. We can have images. The Old Testament came as a cloud, came as fire in the night. When Jesus ascended, the scripture says He was wrapped in a cloud. It was not a cumulonimbus cloud, it was the glory of God. He ascended into heaven in the glory of God, wrapped in a cloud, the cloud of the presence of God. That glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. You want to know where the glory of God is? It shines on the face of Jesus. That's where it is. It's not up in the sky. It's on the face of Jesus. That's why our worship must always be Christ-centered, focused upon Jesus, focused upon His love, focused upon His mysteries, focused upon His death, upon His resurrection, upon His face, because the glory of God shines on the face of Jesus. And this glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus, He offers to us. We are partakers of the glory, that the glory lives within us. It tells us in Thessalonians, that the 2 Thessalonians, the glory, you know, we possess the glory. We are possessors of the glory. But being possessors of the glory, it's just not good enough to possess, because that glory has to go out to all the earth. That glory must reach out to people. That awesome presence of God must reach out to people that are hungry and needy and thirsty. The people that don't know where to find an answer. That have been looking in the new age and they're looking for an experience. Well, they'll get an experience that'll lead them to hell. That's why they need the presence of God. That's why they need the glory of God. That's why when the awesome presence of God comes, you cannot duplicate it by all the words that you speak about. The only thing you can do is get on your face and allow that glory to just fill you and inundate you. Or get on your back and just lie in the glory and let the glory of God fill you, then things begin to happen. You see, it's not something active when the Holy Spirit comes. It's something passive. It's something passive. We allow God to love us. We become the bride, and He's the groom who loves us. He takes the initiative, and we just receive as the bride. And you know, it's very difficult for men to be brides, because we're all so strong and we're all so in charge and we're all so gung-ho. But you see, when the glory comes, there are no grooms other than Jesus Christ who comes to love His people. There are no grooms other than Jesus Christ, that the rest of us are part of the bride, that He wants to come and love and kiss us with the kisses of His mouth and take us into His arms and say, with an everlasting love I have loved you. Not because you heard it in your head, but I want to fill you with that presence that you know that the love that I have for you is eternal and I'm never going to let you go. You can't make that happen. You can't make that happen. But it should be happening in every church. It should be, because you know that's the will of God. The will of God is that his glory would fall upon his people, and that his people would be converted from one degree of glory to the next, and that his people would be so fresh in love with him that they would go out to the whole world and proclaim his holy and awesome name. Like, we have no idea where the glory will lead us if we give permission to the Lord. We have no idea. We just think that, you know, the little place that we live in today, we're going to be doing that for the rest of our life. You let the glory of God in, and I'm going to tell you, it will blow all your ideas. You just might find yourself in Africa. How can that be exactly? How can it be? I'm so old. Yeah, you're so old. You have no idea what God wants to do before you kick off into heaven. You have no idea. Our ideas are all too small. You know, we just think, you know, we're all so provincial. We think about our home, and we should. We think about our parish, and we should. But I'm telling you, when Jesus gave his last command, he said, go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The vision of God is a missionary vision. It is not a vision of the parish, and it is not a vision of the province. It is a vision of the world. That's God's vision. You want to know why? Because Jesus is too good to keep in one place. He's too good to just have in one area. He's too wonderful that we can just have our little love fest with him. That his will goes beyond where we are. And that our vision is so tunnel vision, so narrow. And I'll tell you why. Because we don't want to be led. Because we're comfortable being where we are. Because we're afraid. Where will that glory lead us? I'll tell you where. There are no secrets. It'll lead you to the cross. Honest. Where it led Jesus, it'll lead us. And it'll lead us to the empty tomb also. If you think the glory is just to have a nice time, I tell you, the glory will lead you to the cross. The apostle said it, I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I live no longer for myself. That's a part of the message that people don't hear. You see, I love it when, you know, we praying with people for the baptism said that, you know, everything is going to be wonderful when you receive. We lied to them. We lied to them. We did. We lied to them. Honey, I'm going to tell you, you're never going to have it any harder. I'm going to tell you things are going to happen that are going to be so wonderful, but you're never going to have it any harder. I'm going to tell you the winds are going to blow at you. The storms are going to rage. You're going to have earthquakes under your feet. Your whole life will be shaken. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to be there with his everlasting arms. And you're going to be victorious. See, we didn't tell the people the whole truth. Come on up and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Everything's going to be fine. That's a lie. That's a lie. In one sense, it's real. In another sense, it's not. I tell you, the day that I was ordained was the worst day of my life. Not because I was ordained, but because the devil was in that sanctuary with me, torturing me on that very day. But you want to know why? Because he knew that there was power in that sacrament. And he knew what he saw, what happened before I was priest. And he knew that he wanted to destroy me that day. He wanted to destroy me that day to make me so impotent. I tell you, my friends, that when the glory comes, it leads you to the cross, but it also leads you to the empty tomb. And I'll tell you, you'll see things that other people don't see. You'll do things that other people don't do. You'll hear things that other people don't hear. You'll be the great messenger to bring good news to people that have never heard good news. You'll see the scales of people falling off their eyes as you pray with people. You'll see those things. But let me also tell you, my friends, there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay if you're taking drugs. There's a price to pay if you live a lukewarm life. There's a price to pay if you're living a safe life. There's a price to pay for every life you live. I'd like to pay the price for living by grace, because I want to see what God wants to do by the power of Jesus Christ. I want to see it. I want to be part of it. I'm that selfish. I say, God, you know, just you can't do it without me. Please, please. You know, I know you can go someplace else if you want, but please, I can't let you go someplace else, because you know what? If you go someplace else, I'd rather die right now, because you can't go someplace else. I need you too much. Lord, and if I'm stubborn, oh God, push me on my face that my stubbornness would relent and surrender to you, oh God, because I can't afford you moving on to somebody else. I can't afford that. I'm too old. I need it. I can't afford for you to choose another person instead of me. Because you know what? If I say no, he'll just go someplace else. If you say no, he'll just go someplace else. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. He knows who to touch. He knows where to go. That's why I can't afford to say no. I can't afford him to do something, want to do something in me, and I am too stubborn and hard-hearted that won't let him do it. Can't afford it. Because then what will I do? Play church? What will I do if the move of God isn't in my life? What will I do if the glory of God is not within me? What will I do if people aren't converted? What will I do if people aren't healed? What will I do? Play? Write books about myself? Like, what do you do? Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. God's got to do something. He's got to choose me. And he's got to choose you, because he's got work to do. He's got work to do. But it's not work in the glory. I tell you, there's ease in the glory. You start seeing things happen like this, like this, like this, like this, like this, like this. And things begin to happen so quickly. Then there might be a lull, but then you press in. You keep on pressing into no more. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. Even though I feel like quitting, I'm not going to quit. Even though sometimes I want to chuck it all for a Milky Way. I don't even like Milky Ways. I'm not going to chuck it all. I'm going to continue. Even though I don't know how to continue, Lord, I want more. I want your spirit. I want the glory of God to come. I want to see your manifest presence. I want to see the face of Jesus. I want to be an instrument to go out throughout all the ends of the earth. I want my voice to go throughout all the ends of the earth as far as you want it to go, Lord. I don't want to build my own life or my own name or my own ministry. But God, I want to do exactly what you want me to do. And I just want to follow the lead of the glory. I want to be led by the glory. I want to be led by the river. I want to go and be what you want me to go and want me to be. I just want to do what you want me to do. I want to see the things you want me to see. I want to be part of things. I do. I want to be part of things. I don't want to be apart from things. When things start happening in the church, I want to be part of it. I hope you want to be part of it. I hope you just don't want to sit there and with your mouth open. I hope you want to be part of what God wants to do. No, we don't want to miss the blessing. Don't want to miss the blessing at all. But there's a price to pay. And there's a price to pay every life that you take. Believe me, there's no free lunch any place you go. People might tell you there's a free lunch, but there's no free lunch. You pay a price. If I'm going to pay any price, I want to pay it for the gospel. I want to pay it for Jesus Christ. I want to pay it the best way I know how, even when I complain. Because there's a price to pay. But there are great benefits.